Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Take it in. how many horrible things go on in the world. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll look at all the cruelty and idiocy in the world, and we'll say, you know what? I haven't really made it any better. Maybe it's a small way compared to some things, but in my own realm of influence, I have actually contributed to this. I have contributed to the cruelty, to the stupidity, to the deception, to the manipulation, to the evil which exists in the world. We have to be honest about that. Because there is peace. The Messiah has come, and there is peace, but it's not a worldly peace. What is the peace that exists with the coming of the Messiah? What is the peace that was foretold to the shepherds by the angels? Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace. What's this peace? It's the peace which is restored between God and the human race. The peace between God and men is re-established. As the Apostle says, and all the church fathers say, the sin of Adam and Eve, whenever they ate the fruit that was forbidden them in paradise, they made themselves enemies of God. Not that God began to hate them, but that they turned away from God. They departed from Him. And they set themselves up in animosity against God. And that's the story of the whole human race until the coming of Messiah. And what is restored when the Messiah comes is peace between God and man. And what we experience now in the church is peace between God and man. This is what the mystery of the Eucharist is for us. We commune with God, we also commune with each other. Those of us who are here, who are prepared to receive the Holy Mysteries, we come forward with fear and trembling to communion, and we approach God, we also approach each other. And the peace which God desires for us is reestablished. Now we might go out the door and break it again. Oftentimes we do. But it doesn't change the tremendous miracle which happens, that we participate in the peace which is designed by God and willed by God. And so this seeming contradiction takes place. The child of peace is born, and immediately violence erupts. Because the sad truth is, this is the world's response to God. God comes proclaiming peace to the human race. And the human race's response is, we don't really have room for you, but if you want, you can sleep in the animal trough. The human race's response is, you know what, we have things set up just the way we like them here. And yes, we know that we'll die, but that's okay. We'll have a good time until then. Why don't you go and die too? The human race, in the person of Herod, rises up in an attempt to thrust God out of the broken, corrupt little world that we've built for ourselves. It's the response of corrupted, fallen human nature to God. But even worse than that, I would say, even worse than that is the lie which is commonly told, and that is that state of affairs of enmity between God and man is God's doing. There's I won't name names, but there's a prominent theology, which is prominent in many, many circles, which says that God is angry with the human race. And even that, so angry that he had to demand this strange sacrifice of his eternal son so that his anger could be propitiated and that he could stop being angry with the human race. What's the problem with that theology? Well, the problem is, it places the problem on God's shoulders. God has an anger management issue. And he can't deal with it until he murders somebody. But that is not the witness of Jesus Christ. What is the witness of the coming of the incarnation of the eternal Word of God? It is that we have set ourselves up against God. We have hated God. We have desired to drive Him out. And God's response is to make Himself utterly and completely vulnerable. He humbles Himself and comes down to us. The fathers say that people had become so fixed on this world that they couldn't even look up anymore. And that in a figurative sense, they couldn't even look up to the heavens and contemplate God. So God's response to that was to come down. What's lower than a baby? Since people were so fixed on looking down, He came right under their eyes. Now I will speak to them. Now they will hear Me. Now they will receive the love that I desire to give them. Because this is precisely the God that we worship. The Apostle John tells us God is love. And that doesn't measure up with a God who's angry, with a God who desires innocent blood to propitiate His anger. It doesn't make sense. The Apostle John tells us that God is love. And the witness of that love is that He becomes one of us. That He becomes one of the most vulnerable of us. One who's not just a baby, but a poor infant. An infant in a poor family. And in other words, the most vulnerable of the vulnerable. No money for medical care. No influence in the politics of society. No friends who can buy off the governor when the governor decides to cave into the crowd and crucify him. No hope in this world. Because his hope is entirely in his Father. And so, you and I, in this time period in which we still celebrate the birth of Christ, we have not stopped celebrating the birth of Christ. Out in the world, they begin in mid-October celebrating the birth of Christ, such as they do. And they finally finish on Christmas Eve, and they're done with it. If I started in mid-October, I would be sick of Christmas by Christmas Eve too. But for us, we prepare ourselves for 40 days, and we begin to celebrate on Christmas Day, the 25th of December. And we celebrate for 12 days. So we're still in that period. We're still in the feast. We still greet each other. Christ is born, glorify Him. And we look at this seeming contradiction, and we look at all the evil in the world, and we understand that God desires to give us peace. And you know what? We can pray for a lot of the evil that we see going on around us. But oftentimes, that's all we can do. And don't get me wrong, that's a lot. But there's nothing in the practical realm that we can do oftentimes to alleviate the suffering of those in the world. What we can do is strive to overcome the evil that we find in our own hearts. The small contribution that we make to the corruption of the world, that we find in our own hearts, the wickedness that we find there, to put it completely away from us, so that we can truly rejoice in this great feast. And the feast is not a carnal feast. Yes, we fast for 40 days and now we eat, you know, all the good things of the world. But that's a symbol. That's not the feast. The feast is our Lord Jesus Christ. The feast is the divine Eucharist. And we come here and we are fed and we are nourished on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and who has given Himself for us. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship to the ages of ages.
Amen.
Christ is born.
Glorify Him.